joy of a baby conceived. A friend or loved one tells you they're expecting a baby. You send presents or congratulations on the announcement of a baby conceived. Likewise, we quickly express our regret when told that someone desiring a baby finds out again that it did not work out. Sometimes, after spending many thousands of dollars trying. But this is not always the case. Sometimes women find themselves pregnant and feel they cannot handle raising a baby. Many events can make it seem impossible. The world now says that if you find yourself in that position, you, the mother, have the right to abort the child. The life you conceive does not have rights because they reside within your body. However, the world tells you that you have the right to decide to end the child's life. Does the world have the authority to decide on matters of life and death? However, the question you need to ask is what God would have you do. Scripture tells that God knows you even before you are in the womb. It is God who creates every life. God says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." Jeremiah 1:5. Now he says this to Jeremiah, talking about his life, but it's the same for us today. Below is a short article. My wife, my first wife, Reba, who has now gone to be with Jesus, wrote this article about our adopted son. I did not change it from the time when she published it many years ago.
Consider this: a baby conceived out of wedlock, mixed race, in the midst of racial tension and riots in the South. He was not aborted. A test done routinely now on pregnant women would have shown him to be not perfect physically. He was not aborted. The single mother, for whatever reason, gave him up for adoption, thereby enabling him to have the foremost medical expertise at Duke University for his hydrocephalic condition. And it was successful. Written up in medical history as one of the first, he was not retarded. He did not die an early death. Our Christian advisor said, "Do not adopt. Think of all the medical bills. Every time he needs a shunt revision, he will lose mental capacity. He will never live to the age of 21. Consider all the problems." They were wrong. Medical bills have always been covered. He graduates from John Brown University in May, definitely not retarded. Today, he celebrated his 23rd birthday, and everyone loves Bobby. When I think of the tools the Master Builder has used to form this life, I have questioned his wisdom. Are you sure this is the way to do it? Perhaps an easier, more pleasant route. Must he suffer? Because he has. Been without the security of home and family. Was rejected because of race, been comatose and in convulsions, spent months in and out of hospitals. He had the nickname of Tiger at Duke, everyone's pet. But today, he is preparing for the mission field, a college graduate, an inspiring speaker, a runner, able to love those he comes in contact with, joyful, excited about life. I would have chosen a more protected, easy life, but would it produce a Bobby?
I believe God had a particular purpose for Bobby in our lives and the lives of those he has touched over the years. God has used him in many ways to help people physically and to lead them to a closer walk with Jesus. I believe God healed him after his last sickness in his senior year. He has been in excellent health since that last hospitalization so many years ago. He has a wife and two wonderful children of his own, all following God's leading. His biological mother could have easily chosen to abort him, but she could not bring herself to kill her baby. So the mother decided to allow people to adopt him instead. He blessed me and Reba and all his siblings all his life. I'm so proud of him. After Reba's passing, I married Carol, and Bobby continues to bless both of us. Since his birth, there have been over 45 million babies killed. Each one could have been a blessing like Bobby. Many people want babies now, yet so many are killed that there's a shortage of adoptable babies. The CDC reports around 1 million abortions each year. Unfortunately, many more are in states that do not require reporting. Why is it so hard to fight the abortion industry? The combined annual revenue from abortion in the United States is $1.3 billion. Of this amount, our taxes, the taxes we pay in, pay $530 million. The insurance and individuals pay the difference. That works out to about $1,300 per baby killed. However, the cost of lost life is much higher. This is because many women kill their babies with low-cost pills, and all the abortions are averaged together. God will require accounting for our actions. God will hold us accountable for every action that we take that causes the death of a baby. Things have changed. In 2021, the Supreme Court reversed Roe v. Wade and returned constitutional protection to the unborn. It was a landmark decision that will be fought in the coming years by the forces of evil. The abortion industry will fund the attack to try and rebuild the $1.3 billion baby-killing industry. The battle over abortion will not go away. For many, abortion has become a form of birth control. It is up to those who follow God to do everything in their power to teach the truth of God's word. We must take a personal stand against this evil, or it will return. Every day, Satan's forces fight to kill and destroy lives. This evil will not go away, but we can help save some and teach the truth. Satan uses sin and greed to encourage the world to ignore God's word. The church needs to step forward and make available to those who do not want to keep their babies. We need to show these ladies love, but as Christians, we aren't to judge or condemn them. God is the only righteous judge.